Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. And I want you to stop right now and like and subscribe to this podcast. My guest today is Grammy-nominated, Stellar Award-winning E1 recording artist, musician, author, college professor, there's so many things behind that name, and philanthropist, Mr. Jonathan McReynolds. His latest music project is the EP People, which debuts at number one on the Christian Gospel chart and number one on Billboard's current gospel chart with the groundbreaking audio and visual People. His current single is Moving On, featuring Molly Music. Jonathan, thank you so much for being my guest today. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Lynn. I appreciate it. I'm honored to be here.
You're welcome, and I want to thank you for your patience. We had a few technical difficulties this morning, but I said, you know what? We are going to get this done. Nothing's going to stop us. How are you doing, dear, in this pandemic? Because I understand that you are in Los Angeles right now.
I go back and forth between Chicago and L.A. I definitely wanted to be near family in Chicago during this quarantine just to make sure everybody's all right. But I come out here to get some space whenever I need it.
Oh, wow. You know, that's my second hometown. I lived in L.A. for, gosh, about 15 years and worked in the music industry, like at Warner Brothers Records and Warner Brothers Telepictures, marketing at the Ice Capades, and did syndicated radio out there. So that is my other home. Love L.A.
Yeah, it and Chicago are kind of opposites, and I'm balanced.
That's awesome. Anointed songwriter, you are a gifted guitarist. Where did you learn how to play? Because I love your acoustic playing. I really, really do.
Well, you know what, Lynn? I actually started off playing the drums and the piano in church, and I played the organ for most of my life. I'm probably a lot better on the piano. I used to make my mother quite upset when guitar kind of became the focal point of my music as an artist, my original music. She was just, why are you sitting there trying to figure out the guitar when you play the piano so well? She was quite upset. Guitar is the last thing. I started trying to pick it up in college as I was writing some of these songs. And I think writing and beginning to perform and, you know, beginning to be known and learning the guitar all came at the same time. And so, I mean, early versions of Jonathan, the guitar player, were pretty terrible. I guess I did enough to get the song over. And now I wouldn't say that I'm that amazing either, but, I've definitely figured out how to do what I need to do on it. And so it's kind of interesting that, you know, of all the instruments that, you know, you grow up playing, the last one is the one that kind of becomes what you're known for.
Oh, that is interesting. So you were piano playing in the church and then turned out to be this wonderful guitarist. Like I already said, I love your acoustic playing. You're welcome. So if you had to describe Jonathan McReynolds, this person, and also your ministry, how would you say that about yourself?
I would say Jonathan McReynolds is a nerd. He loves making connections. He loves making words fit, and I just really enjoy the process of crafting anything, whether it's something with wood, something with art, or something with words and music. And I've, you know, used that passion to kind of do what I felt was missing out of my life. As a church boy, as I told you, played the organ my whole life, I knew how to facilitate service. I knew all about Sunday service. I knew all about the Sunday culture, but I didn't really understand what it meant to then live that out in regular life. Very much understood Sunday, didn't understand how Christianity and faith had anything to do with Monday through Saturday. And so all my music has been written towards that. What about the actual life of a Christian? After the ceremonial part, the celebratory part, the communal part is kind of done. Everything that I've written, everything that I've put out in a book or article or anything else has always been centered upon this honest understanding of how life is supposed to go, how we're supposed to navigate through life.
Oh, amen, amen. That's interesting. It does touch millions of people, the way that you go about your songwriting and just talking about how we live our daily lives outside of church. That is something that's going to inspire, or is already inspiring and encouraging, generations of people. And that's how you're connecting with these people and connecting with saints and souls all over. Tell me about your influences. experiences while growing up in music?
Yeah, well, so I grew up at a Church of God in Christ Church, and the music that I heard, you know, was coming out of my mother's living room. She's a pianist and a singer as well. You know, we would go to church, and I would, as an organist, I'd learn all the songs. I don't think I was even really aware of there being a industry that was kind of producing these songs, or, you know, artists, you know, the Hezekiah Walkers, the John P. Keys. I wasn't really aware that, you know, there was a whole industry happening over here that was producing these songs. I think I just probably assumed that my choir director or somebody else came up with them. And so that was definitely a big influence for me as a musician. Back then, I never had any thoughts, desires at all to be in front, to be singing. I could probably count the amount of times I sung at my church on my hands. And so it's just a very interesting thing of just how over time I was molded into this. When I got into high school, I started to really fall in love with hip hop. And we listened to, you know, Eminem, we listened to Common, we listened to Mos Def. And I just loved the way they told stories and used metaphors in their writing. When I first heard I Used to Love Her, which is by Common, it really just amazed me just how he was able to build up this entire story. But then at the very end, you know, reveal that it wasn't about who we thought it was about. It was just really about his love for music, his love for hip-hop. And I always wanted to carry that level of, you know, just skill and precision, clarity, and intrigue and mystery sometimes, you know, in my songwriting, even though I'm, you know, doing it under this tent, I guess, of inspirational or gospel or Christian music. I really wanted to stay true to what I thought was just a beautiful part of the craft of writing and being an artist. Outside of that, you know, you have the Brian McKnights, you have the Sam Cooke, you have the NDREs, the Stevie Wonders, John Mayer. All those people absolutely inspired me and my music, and I see it more and more as I continue to write.
Now, speaking of your music and writing, we're going to jump into that, but before that, talk to me about BET and your involvement with Sunday Best, and what's going on with that?
Yeah, well, they. What's crazy is, you know, when I was 17, they had their first season, and I went out to audition. I didn't really know what it was. Somebody just told me to go, and I found myself in a long line. Eventually, Kirk Franklin jumped out of a bush or something. I don't know where he came from, and I realized I was on TV all of a sudden. And I went up, and I auditioned. And I auditioned. I had a three-second chance to impress judges, and I sang a little quick hymn with my eyes closed. When I got done, the judge said, you know, open your eyes, baby, and go back to the end of the line. And that's it. And I never heard anything from it. It never went anywhere. I didn't even make it to the first step or the first step of the first step of being on the show. And so it's really incredible that, I guess, you know, 12 years later, I was actually one of the judges. And so, you know, it was really a fun experience to kind of choose a teammate. And I'm really excited about getting started on this second season as soon as, you know, the world opens back up again. It's going to be really fun.
Oh, wow. And that is an incredible story. You auditioned, didn't make it, and now you're a judge on the show. That is something else. How would you inspire young folks that are trying to do what you do? You know, that's a great story.
Yeah, I would just inspire you to be, stay true to yourself. But I would also say, don't box yourself in. You know, don't choose too early in life. I think a lot of times, and parents are sometimes responsible as well. Kids coming up, they lock themselves in way too early. They come up with an entire brand and idea way too early in life when they really have not, you know, gotten all the skills and the weird experiences and the cool, you know, influences, you know, that happen before you try to, you know, make yourself public, before you try to make yourself known. I love the process of all that happens when you are just doing it for fun. When you're just doing it, you know, to pass through life. When you're just doing it because the girls like it across the hall. You're just doing it because that's where your friends are. All that stuff is very important. And as I've gotten older, I've realized just how the different pockets and different eras of my life all fed into what I'm doing right now, which will, I'm sure, feed into what I am ultimately destined to do as I get older. And I just want people to live. I want, you know, especially people younger than me, kids younger than me, live first, learn and have fun, enjoy what you do. Then when the time is right, I believe that God, I believe that life, I believe that your heart will, you know, let you know when it's time to kind of put all of it together and turn it into an artist, turn it into a brand, turn it into a ministry, turn it into a career.
Amen. Sound advice there, Professor. Now let's talk about your music that you got out. Now there's you have the full length album. No, not the full length album. It's an EP you got, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, People. So, and it is groundbreaking because it's audio and visual. So explain to the audience what all that means.
Yeah, so we did something that has been done a few times for sure in other genres, but we don't think and we can't remember if it's ever been done in gospel. I don't believe it has. Basically, it's just in a music video that encompasses the entire album. So the entire 27 minutes of EP. There's a visual that has a story to it. Also has, you know, different looks and different styles per song, but has a kind of unifying narrative in it. And I thought that it was really interesting or fun to do. Well, I guess it's appropriate to do because every time we finish the song, we just like, man, this sounds like it should be in a movie. Mm-hmm. The song felt like the closing scene or climactic scene in a movie or the beginning of a movie. And we were just like, well, let's try to make our own. And so it was just really amazing to watch God work in us as creatives that made the entire album sequence very coherent as a narrative, as a story. What we were asking, what we were wondering with the title track, People, which is the second track on the album, it was answered by the time you got to the end. And I just thought that it was just a really amazing thing and perfect for this season since we found ourselves kind of locked in, you know, at home and consuming more visual content, you know, more than ever. And so it just really worked out well. And I'm really glad that people really enjoy it. I think it means a lot when they can see me sing it rather than just hear it.
Well, congratulations on that. I've watched some of it. I'm going to go back and finish watching the rest of it when we're done. Tell me about the single with Molly Music. How did that whole thing come together working with him?
Yeah. He is a brother. He's been a friend. He kind of, you know, hit this space before I did. I mean, just this line of kind of doing music that has a little bit of edge, not necessarily traditional gospel, but very much speaks to our generation and honestly speaks to, you know, all generations if they let it. He was doing this, you know, when I was in college having fun and trying to figure out my first song. He had already kind of emerged as a great artist. And so we've been close for a long time. I've looked up to him. He's respected me and been a little bit of a big brother. And so when I finished writing this song and we started to produce it and we gave it its, you know, swing, we gave it its groove, I just felt like, man, I think this would be perfect for him to get on. And I called him and we've never worked together in that capacity, but we worked together then and we recorded it in a hotel room after a show that we both had in Florida. Pretty cool. You know, these are stories and memories that you kind of have for a long time. And it's been really just an amazing experience to work with my brother in this capacity.
That is wonderful. So you recorded it in a hotel room? Did you say that? Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Well, his part, for sure. So, I've been cutting all my stuff at home, you know, for the past couple records. It's always very comfortable and, you know, we can kind of do it spur of the moment. So, yeah, I kind of brought a little bit of my setup. And we put it up in a hotel room and covered it up with some towels and pillows to make it a little vocal boothy. And it worked out.
That is wonderful. Oh, my goodness. And got some towels and covered some things up and did a recording. And we're all sitting back loving it now. That's wonderful.
Right. That's what's up.
So what's next for Jonathan McReynolds? And how can people connect with you on social media?
You should always keep it locked on JonathanMcReynolds.com or go to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at J-O-N McReynolds. I'm doing a lot of different things. We have, you know, of course, the visual album on YouTube and a lot of other really cool content, visual stuff, behind-the-scenes stuff, really just fun stuff. And I want you guys to go check it out. We even have me kind of giving some song story, you know, really kind of laying into, you know, why I wrote what I wrote, what it means, how do we record it, any cool, fun stories like the one with Molly in the hotel room. And it's been really just a, you know, a great year for content for me. So go check it out because we have a lot more coming. We're about to do an entire channel that I'm going to, you know, eventually push out there. We have some other great business announcements. 2020 has been strange.
To say the least.
The coronavirus situation has shifted certain things, but we had so much planned for the year that I think people will still be like, whoa, how did you manage to get all this done, do all this? a lot of this God must have really fine-tuned and planned out to run in step with this whole thing that we have going on. So I'm really excited. Look out, May, there's more coming. May, end of May, early June, there's some other things that are going to happen. So just watch it.
I am just amazed at what you're doing, but also in how God has provided so many opportunities to do creative things in this coronavirus space and era that we're living in. Amen.
Yeah, man, I can't imagine living in any other time in a pandemic like this, but I'm really grateful the technology we have, the global community that we've already forged. It's perfect for, you know, artists to continue to do what we have to do. We just might not get paid for it.
Might not get paid, but it's a gold mine in terms of creativity that you can use to inspire, encourage, and uplift God's people everywhere. So Jonathan, thank you so much for being patient, being a good trooper, and working with us today and talking with us on the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please make sure that you like, follow, and subscribe right now to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast.